Hello, this is Elder Brandon Hartfield. We're thankful to have this opportunity to come and be on the radio broadcast again this week. We certainly desire the prayers of those of you that know the Lord, and by the Lord's help, we certainly pray that we could be used of God to be a blessing. Before we get started with the message today, we do want to look to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you this day, Lord, we're so thankful for the many wonderful things that you've done for us. Father, you've been far better to us than we deserve. And Father, we pray that you would lead, guide, and direct by your Holy Spirit. Help us to accomplish your will, Father. Help us to preach your message, to bring glory and honor to your name, and to accomplish your will. Father, we ask for these blessings, and we ask for it all in the name of Jesus, for he is worthy. Amen. As we come today, we're going to begin in the book of Romans chapter 1. We want to pick up in verse 16. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." And all that really is there, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, is giving an illustration of where things happen. Christ was preached to the Jews first and then, preached out from there to the whole world. And certainly because Christ was a Jew, it went to the Jews first. And of course, through the Jews, you was given the law and things of this nature. The promises were made of even the coming of Christ, but also to the rest of the world who would believe it. He says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened." And of course, he goes on to explain more of even delving into how man, left God. God didn't leave man. Man left God. And you can go back to before the flood and after the flood. God started off with two, and they knew the truth. And he led that family in the truth. And yet they rejected it. And you come back to Noah's family, and even after it had been dwindled down to just a family, and they knew the wrath of God, they knew the truth of God, yet it wasn't too many generations later that they started serving other gods. They just made up God as they saw fit and made him into the image that they wanted him to be. And when he goes through several of these things, he talks about the unrighteousness of men, about how God is against the ungodly and the unrighteousness of men. Let me ask a question. What group of human beings is worse than the other? Now, if you start actually going through a lengthy history, more than just a couple of hundred years, but you get into 1,000 years worth of history, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years of history, and you start delving in to human history, there's nobody that looks good. Sin's rampant everywhere you go. It's everywhere you look. But yet we have people that want to say, well, white people are the worst. You really want to delve into that? Or black people are the worst. You really want to delve into that? This group is the worst. That group's the worst. It's Asians. It's Africans. It's Australians. Where are you going to look? You look here in America. You look at the Native Americans that were here. You want to talk about the slavery and the conquest of land that existed before we got here? People are like, oh, Americans just colonialized, or, Western Europeans colonialized. You might want to do some research. Men's been fighting for land since you can record history. It's everywhere. To establish their nation or their country, or to expand their borders, There's been war going on. And anybody with any amount of knowledge knows that. Man is sinful. Man is greedy. And it doesn't matter where you go, what continent you go to, what color of skin they have. There's an ugliness of people. A sinfulness of people. And God deals with that human condition. And God actually teaches us to judge people on their character. And when you get into the church, it becomes more important to judge them by doctrine. Now, I've had a great honor over the years that I've been able to meet several missionaries from different countries and different places. I've got to go and visit a few different countries over the years. And I've been blessed with that. And you know what amazes me, what unites me with other brothers and sisters in Christ? Is our relationship with God through Christ. That's it. Met a man years ago from the Philippines, and I asked him about his salvation. I told him mine, and we talked, and before long, I mean, we were glued together as brothers. And we didn't see the skin color or all these differences or all these other things. What united us was Christ. And I've had that experience with people from Africa. I've had that experience with people from Canada, Mexico. And it's amazing what unites us is Christ. And it's amazing how it has torn down all kinds of barriers. I was talking to an African missionary years ago, and he was talking about the wars and fightings going on. Some have been going on for hundreds of years or even more, maybe even into the thousands of years between tribes. And he said that once Christianity came, it brought about forgiveness that nothing else could fix. He said it united people where people thought there was never a chance of uniting. And what united them was Christ. I tell you what, a lot of people forget American history, but when America was first started, you had the old world problems that came here to America. They did. You go back and study in the 1600s, 1700s, and even into the 1800s, and you can even argue into the 1900s with a lot of it. There was problems that still need to be fixed out because you had people that had warred between each other in the past, and they still had a lot of arguments. You know, a lot of people when they came here to America, you know, I'm Scottish and you're Scottish and we're going to be together as Scots, or we're going to be together as Irish, and or we're going to be together as Italians, and whatever it might be that people grouped up together. And it took a while to overcome that. It did. A lot of people think, oh, you know, I've heard different teachers. I had a teacher one time tell me white people came here and they just, you know, grew together, and I'm going, hey, I've read enough history to know that's not true. I'm like, there were times when Irishmen were taking some of the police jobs and the firemen jobs because those were the jobs that nobody else wanted, and that's what they could get. And that's why a lot of times in certain cities, you still got a heavy Irish presence in some of your police force. And it's because they were discriminated against. You still got in some cities that there are sections that are more Italian, or and they're more black, or they're more all these other things, because that's the way people did it. They were scared of getting any outside of their own countrymen, even when they came here to be Americans. My goodness, you had that in the church for a time. If you go back and read the book of Acts, do you find that they had arguments about the Jews having the Gentiles in the church? And those arguments that went on? And the only thing that fixed it was that God had it fixed in Scripture that this would happen. And they said, well, we can't argue with God. Sadly, at some point in time, people got away from the Bible. And other things were brought in, and there have been false doctrines, been fought against in churches for a long time, but the Bible brings people together. I mean, Jesus told His church, He said, go into all the world. Preach the gospel. He didn't say go to this group or that group. He said go to all the world. Now they began with the Jews first, because that's where the gospel was first preached. That's where Christ was from. That's where the record of Christ's crucifixion and the witnesses to it were from. But then it spread abroad. And as it spread, I mean, you had people like Peter, and he's going, you know, it's not lawful for a Jew to enter your house. And he's just going by those old traditions. But then he had to come back to the people at Jerusalem. He said, God's here. The Apostle Paul, he had to go, and he had to go to places that he normally wouldn't go, and he'd say, but the gospel's here. And he's the one being used of God to preach here and share these words with us, reminding us God doesn't see things the way we do. And I know I've preached it several times on the radio broadcast before. It bothers me when I meet Christians that see themselves as white or black or Hispanic or whatever else it is before they're a Christian. And trust me, I've been to churches. Now, I'm not saying just white churches. I've been to black churches. I've been to Asian churches. Listen, I have met people that put whatever background they come from first instead of Christ. And it's wrong. And I've stated that for many years. It's wrong. I am a Christian first. Let's delve into some scriptures. Let's get a little bit deeper in this. Let's go to the book of 1 John. It says in verse 20 of chapter 4. Well, first of all, let's get verse 19, because this continues on. We love Him, we love God, because He first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar, for he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from Him, that we who loveth God love his brother also. Whosoever believeth that Jesus Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth Him that begot, means love God, He's begotten us in Christ, loveth Him also that is begotten of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. Notice what He's saying here. And I've preached from this, and I know there's witnesses that could go back probably 15 years with me, at least preaching these things and teaching on these things. Dear friend, if somebody's a brother or sister of mine in Christ, because that's the emphasis here. The emphasis is within the church, within Christ. And I know it can extend. You can talk about your enemies and how we're to love them, and how we're to love those enough to share the gospel with across the world. As even Paul is saying, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation. If I can't love somebody who serves the same God as I do, and I know that gets into doctrinal details. I'm not trying to dive into that just today. But if somebody's of the same faith, has that same witness within themselves that I have as Christ, how can I hate them? Now, does that mean I agree with them all the time? No. Again, doctrinal truths are important. I'm not going to, you know, allow somebody to spew lies just so that we can get along, and I'm not going to go along with them just to make them feel better. I'm not going to do that. That's a different subject. But a love for people. A love for people is important among the people of God. I'm thankful that I have had opportunities over the years to share the gospel with many people from many different backgrounds. It's been a blessing to me. It's been an encouragement to me that I've been able to share the gospel with many different people. And I have a desire to share the gospel with more people as time goes on. And what I mean by that is there's mission points that I pray that I get an opportunity to share the gospel with someday. It might not ever happen. I don't know. I've got invitations to go visit places in India, Philippines, Africa, different places around the world. I just can't go right now. God has not given me an open door to go. If God ever does, if God gives us that opportunity, if God provides that opportunity in that way, we'll certainly take advantage of it. And I think even those missionaries know that we mean it. I've also got an invitation to South Korea. And I want to go there. There's things that you want to do. Whether it's Mexico, Canada, different continents, different places around the world, you want to share the gospel. And I'll be honest, I look at people from the perspective of Christ whenever I go places. God is able to do a tremendous work in our heart to change us. And you don't see the color of skin. You notice that there's cultural differences. You know, I've been warned if I go over to the Philippines, you know, they're probably going to cook me some fish with the head still on it and stuff. And I know there'll be, you know, differences like that. But those things are easy to overcome, aren't they? It's a blessing if we see what God sees. See, in the Word of God, God teaches us that in the beginning, He created man and woman, Adam and Eve. And that every single one of us alive today is descendants of them. Every single person of every single country, of every single background you can find, are of the same creation. We all have a certain amount of kindred. I believe that by the Word of God. It makes me react to people different. It makes me treat them different. Doesn't mean I'll always agree on them. Doesn't mean I'm going to cave on any doctrinal things or any true principles. Doesn't mean that. But I tell you what, I can love people in the Lord because God first loved me. Now I will say this, I don't think in our day and time, maybe it's worse, maybe it's better. I've moved around a good bit with my dad being in the military and different things. We moved around a good bit, and even as a minister, I've moved around some and gotten to go and visit different places over the years. I've never found the race issue to be a huge issue. I really never have. I've seen, you know, rednecks with rebel flag shirts changing, you know, black people's tire on the side of the road and vice versa. You know, in my home state of Mississippi all my life. It seems like it's political leaders or other people that come in and try to stir up trouble. They try to anger people. They try to tell them, well, nobody's being as mistreated as you are. And they stir up trouble and don't give people the truth. But I've seen people just work together. I've seen people love one another. And I've seen people who are from totally different backgrounds get along and who would even die for each other. I mean, they love each other that much. It bothers me to see people stirring hate. It bothers me. It bothers me for people seeing things that are really not there. It bothers me to see that. It troubles me as a Christian because it's not good for our nation, it's not good for our communities, and it's certainly not good for the church to stir up that kind of hatred. God teaches us something different. Turn with me. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's get in this from a church perspective. Verse 12 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. And so within this, we're seeing that God's bringing people from totally different backgrounds. He said whether they be Jews or Gentiles, whether they be bond or free. And a lot of people don't realize how radical that statement was 2,000 years ago. Sadly, people think about what they've seen in their life right now, and they don't understand the radical statement that's being said here. God is putting everybody in the church on an equal field. And he did this also with money in the book of James. And he talked about having respect of persons and how God's not a respecter of persons and how we shouldn't give some rich person a choice seat in the church house and have somebody that's poor sit down. But rather look at each person as equally valuable, as equally important. Their soul, no matter whether rich or poor, no matter whether bond or free, no matter whether Jew or Gentile, it was paid for with the same blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God says, within the church, I'm bringing you to an equal field, an equal place. There's a lot of people that don't realize how radical that statement was when it was written down. And I tell you what, you can go back in the Old Testament and find stuff just as radical. The way that the Jews treated their wives versus the way the Western world treated their wives and treated their families would just, I mean, it was totally contrary to what the rest of the world was at that time. God is saying, I don't care how much money you have. I don't care what background you come from. What I care about is, do you trust in me and are you willing to serve me? Do we understand what the church really means? Do we understand the value of our brothers and sisters in Christ? I can't tell you how many times that I've looked, and I've even stated this at associational meetings before. I said, if you look through the number of souls saved every year in the associational body that I'm a part of, and we only exist for one day out of the year because we believe in the independence of the churches. We believe it's the church's duty to take care of their missionary support individually. They do that. They don't even have to tell the association what they've done. If they choose to, that's their privilege also. But we leave stuff to the authority of the church. We're really a pile of independent Baptist churches that have some common beliefs that we meet together so we can share mission work. And I've told people several times, you go through our associational book, how many souls were saved through mission work every year? There's been some years it's been well over half. The number of souls saved in a year came through mission work. Some of that might be in the States. Some of it might be in Mexico, Canada, or Africa, or wherever it might be. And it amazes me all the time. And I'm often saying that because, I'll be honest, I'm just looking at myself and I'm saying, look at the great work these men of God are doing. And I tell you, when I see a soul saved, I really don't think about what color the soul is. I don't think about what country it came from. I think about, here's another person that has admitted that God is right and they've trusted in Christ for salvation. And now we need to pray for them that they'll continue to say God is right in every aspect of their life. with their family, with how they raise their children, with how they treat their neighbors, and all these other things, that the primary thing that we're called to be as God's people is the children of God. Christians. And I know that word gets overused because the true word of Christian means follower of Christ. I am a follower of Christ. Not just a believer in Christ, but a follower of Christ. Well, how has God taught us to love one another? Without respect of persons. And again, I come across so many people with it. Man, it's difficult. Because you come across so many people that look at themselves and they look at their skin color first. Or they look at, I'm Irish, or I'm, you know, this group or that group. I'd like to remind us as God's people to get past that. I don't know the right words to say. I'm not maybe the most eloquent in the world in putting these words together. But I pray that God gets across His Spirit and His burden of what He's placed in His Word, that you understand it. That when I share Christ with people, I'm not thinking about all the other stuff. And that probably makes me very weird in this world. And that's fine. I want to be weird in this world. Because fitting in with this sinful world, I don't want that. Because I look at a soul that needs salvation. Or I look at a saved person that needs to grow in the Lord. When I look in the mirror, I don't look at whiteness and all these other things. I'm talking about the mirror of the Word of God. I ask a question, what does God want me to be? And every time I study throughout the Scriptures, I've never found where God said He wanted me to be a better white person. Better black person, a better brown person, a better yellow person, or whatever else, better red person, whatever else you might find. I find that's always character issues. He says, this is how I want you to love your wife. This is how I want you to raise your children. This is how I want you to work at your job. This is how I want you to treat your neighbors. This is how I want you to treat your enemies. It's always a character issue. A moral issue. A biblical issue. Doctrinal issue. And I'm really wanting to get to the point of asking the question today, is that the way you look at it? Do you even see that you're Republican first, or Democrat first, or Libertarian first, or Constitutional Party, or whatever else it might be? What are you first? Are you an American first, or are you a Christian first? And I hope that's answered in the right light. But I tell you, it's so important for God's people to be God's people first. First and foremost, I am a child of God. If that's not the number one thing I identify as, I'm wrong. Biblically, as a child of God, I am wrong, I'm in error. Again, it doesn't mean I can't stand for other things, I can't do other things. I am a child of God first, above everything else. We need to see it that way. We need to have that heart within us that we can put on the character of Christ. This is the burden God has given us. If you have anything upon your heart, our number is 601-606-4681. You can write us, Brandon Hartfield, 8 Smith Drive, Hattiesburg, Mississippi, 39401. Heavenly Father, we pray that You'll take this message, use it to Your honor and glory, for the good accomplished through it. Let us step aside and give You the praise. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.